Tressie and Nate, I said, you know, between having COVID, between being sick, and the spiritual battle that's been going on in my home, I'm out of season when it comes to preaching. I had a hard time getting what God would have me to preach here tonight. And so, I did a Pastor John, I put some verses down. I'm going to shoot at him and see what the Lord does with it, because I really have nothing else. And there's times that as a preacher, you go through times when you're out of season, but you know what? You have to be ready for that. That's part of your calling. That's part of you being separated unto that ministry, is having that calling and being ready and able to be able to get out there, regardless of what you think you might have a message or you think you might have God's mind. When that time comes and the opportunity comes, such as tonight, then I need to be ready. And I'm thankful to be up here. I will be preaching the 1 o'clock on Sunday here at Black Creek. And then on the 27th, because Pastor Dan Cassiola just had hip surgery yesterday, on the 27th, I'll be preaching all day long at Anchor Baptist Church. And I believe this Sunday, Brother Ted McVeigh, Evangelist Ted McVeigh, will be at Anchor Baptist Church this Sunday. And so just a little update there. If you would turn with me to Daniel chapter 6, we'll keep this short and sweet because of the snow that's out there. Usually it's a 10-minute ride for me to get home. To get here, it took me a little, probably a good 25 minutes to get here. That's with all-wheel drive and good snow tires. I'm talking, we spent about $600 on snow tires, and we are still hitting that road pretty slick. And so, Daniel chapter 6, I just want to remind everybody here, God has given us a way to communicate with Him, right? He's given us the Bible. That's His way to communicate with us. While we're out there, while we're at home, and we're reading the Bible and the preaching's going on, God is talking to us. But then God has given us a way to talk to Him, and that's called prayer. And I want to show you, because prayer is attacked so much today's day and age, you know, with government, with public, you know, people not praying, non-believers. People are always attacking the prayer in some form or fashion. The devil hates prayer. Okay? It's an open communication that we have with God. And if the devil can convince somebody that God's not listening to the prayer, you hear it all the time. Well, you know, God doesn't hear sinners' prayer. You know, people who are sinners, He don't hear their prayer. Well, then how did I get saved then? God heard my prayer. He heard my prayer before I got saved. God answered mine and Amy's prayers before we got saved. Why? Because it was the goodness of God that led us to repentance. And so God went a certain way with me and my wife before we got saved. He would answer things and He would do things in our lives so that we could see His goodness. But you know what? There came a time when God drew a line in the sand. He says, I will go no farther now. Now it was going to be between us and Him for us to get saved. Now God had drawn that line in there. But I'm telling you right now, God hears the prayers of sinners. He hears the prayers of saints. And He hears the prayers, but I'm telling you right now, with this world and the devil, they want you to say, they want you to have one thing in your mind, that God's not listening to you. That's a lie. It's a lie. And so I'm going to open up in prayers as we get going here. Lord, thank You for tonight. I do thank You for Your goodness and Your mercy. I thank You for the safety of everybody that's here. Whoever's here, Lord, is who You wanted to be here. Lord, I pray that You give me the words to speak. Thank You so much for what You have done. Thank You for what You're going to do. And be with us tonight, Lord. Move me out of the way and decrease me as You increase. And use my mouth to preach Your word. Well, thank You for it all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If I kind of sound funny, since I'm still trying to catch my breath. And sometimes it gets taken from me. But nonetheless, God in His mercy will get me through this. Daniel chapter 6. We're going to start with verse 7 here. And it says, let me back up a little bit here. Because I want to give you a little bit. What's going on here is that Daniel, he's in captivity. In verse 4 says, and the presidents and the princes, they sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. And what a wonderful testimony, Chelsea, that would be, that the people in this world, the people in the public, the people in our neighborhoods, the people at work or wherever we're at, and that we had this kind of a testimony where they were looking to find something wrong in our life and they couldn't. What a wonderful testimony to have in front of a family member or your boss or whatever. They're looking for an occasion. They're looking for you stumbling and they can't find that. What a wonderful testimony that is to have in front of families and friends, especially for newer people who have just gotten saved, and you got family that you haven't lived around very long, or, you know, lost family that you haven't been around very long, and they're looking at you, man. They got a bullseye on you now. They're looking for that occasion. They're looking for that thing, that reason for you to fall. And what a testimony Daniel had here, that they could not find anything. And verse 5 is in, and then said these men, by the way, this is jealousy. You find that in the book of Proverbs. We're going to see, and jealousy is the rage of man. And we're going to see that these leaders, they're full of that jealousy. They're full of that rage, even so much, they're willing to kill a man over where Daniel sits, okay? Because they can't find nothing wrong with him, because Daniel has found favor around the people he's working with and such. And that's kind of my prayer for Liberty Behind Bars, is because the Lord is teaching me how to work amongst the government. He's teaching me how to work amongst lost people, but not compromise my position with God. Okay, if I'm going to be in this jail ministry, I'm going to have to learn how to work with those people who don't believe the way I believe. Those people who are in government offices and stuff, I have to learn how to work with them, not with them according to what they believe, not according to what would make me compromise, but I have to learn how to work with them. This is what Daniel's done. Daniel has such a testimony that he's out there and he's living his life as the Jew. He's living his life. Thank you, buddy. I appreciate that. He's living his life as a Jew. He's living his life in captivity. And here he is amongst the government people, amongst the leaders, and they can find no occasion against him. And guess what? He has not compromised his life with God. What a wonderful thing to have people be able to say, man, he doesn't compromise his life with God. And so here we see jealousy sets in, and it says, in these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. And verse 6 says, and these presidents and princes, they assembled together the king, and then said this unto King Darius, live forever. And all the presidents of the kingdom, and the governors, and the princes, and the counselors, and the captains, have consulted together to establish a royal statute, and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. You see how many people they went on and got together to make one petition against one man? That's a man who's living for the Lord. That's a man who has got God on his mind, and there is nothing on this entire planet that's going to move him. And it takes all these people to come together. They all come around, and they're going to go to the king. And by the way, we're going to see that pressure was put on King Darius, and he caves. A king caves to his little minions underneath it. That pressure got put on him, and this goes to show you that sometimes when we see in our government officials that they got that position in their life, and the ones that are underneath, they put so much pressure on them that they cave. Here's King Darius, he's going to cave. Okay? He put Daniel in this position, but yet he's now going to turn his back on Daniel because of his people. Okay? Look what it says here in verse 8. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing, that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Verse 10. And now when Daniel knew, I want you to see that word. When Daniel knew, what a wonderful expression. We're about to see a man who knew that something took place. He wasn't there. Doesn't say that Daniel was in that room. He didn't hear what was being conspired, but he knew that something was about to happen. And look what Daniel does. And it says here, and now when Daniel knew that writing was signed, he went into the house, and his windows being open in the chamber towards Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day, and he prayed, and he gave thanks before his God as he did before time. Daniel did aforetime. Daniel knew that decree was just signed. Most people would have cowered down. Most people would have tucked their tail between their legs, and that would have been it. Not Daniel. What's it say he done? He opens his window. He boldly opens his window, knowing that they just signed something against them, knowing that they don't want him praying to his God. He opens his window and he kneels down, not once a day, not twice a day, but three times a day. You see, the world, the devil, our flesh, they all want to attack the prayer. They all want to get us to stop and try to break that communication that we have with God. They want to stop that prayer. They want to stop those things. And they'll go at any lengths, including jealousy, allowing jealousy to sign a decree against a man who has done no wrong. Nobody has found any fault in him. But the devil can't stand prayer. Daniel's probably one of my favorite books in the sense is this. And you'll see the devil attack the word of God in Daniel chapter 3. He attacks the word of God. He's been getting people to doubt since Genesis 3 chapter 1. He's been getting people to doubt that there is a word of God. And Daniel, he attacks the word. And then Daniel chapter 1, he attacks music. Daniel chapter 6, he attacks prayer. Three things in our lives that are very important. Prayer, music, and the word of God. And the devil is found attacking every single one of them. Okay? And he uses those as a ploy. And I remember, excuse me, after getting saved, how we switched to Christian music. Well, the Christian music sounded just like what we used to listen to. But that was a ploy of the devil. He said, look, it's got the name Jesus in there, so it's Christian. Don't worry about the drums and the electric guitars and the whammy bars and the death metal sounds and the hip-hops and all that kind of stuff. It's got the name God in it, John Mark. It's okay if it's country. You can do the square dance and sing hallelujah to Jesus Christ at the same time the fiddle's playing. But that's what he does. He takes those things and he grabs a hold of a person and he holds on to them. Look, this is Christian. Do you really believe that God will preserve the Word of God? John Mark, don't you think he'd want it to be easier for you to read? Why would God be so cruel and give you a King James Bible to read? Do you really think God wants to hear your prayers? Do you really think that God wants to save you? Why would you waste your time praying to God that ain't listening to you? These are the attacks that come because the devil can't stand when we have that relationship. My friends, just like Daniel and the devil and the people attacking the prayer, it's going to happen to you. One of the hardest battles that I face, I will get up in the morning and I'm fixated on reading my Bible. And I'll sit down with that wonderful, and used to have a cup of coffee. It was a wonderful cup of coffee, but I lost my smell, and I lost my taste, and I have nothing. I have no taste in my coffee, and it's disappointing. But I sit down and I read my Bible, and I love reading my Bible, and I get a lot out of it. But then, after I'm done reading, it's time to pray. Then it feels like the whole world comes down on top of me. Every thought, every trial, every struggle, I mean, everything on this entire planet starts coming down on top of me when it's time for me to go into my prayer closet and to pray. I start thinking this. All I got to do is walk from my living room to my bedroom. That's as far as I got to go. And it takes me almost an hour to get there. Because every single thing on the way there stops me. Then by the time I get to my prayer closet, I go, my goodness, Lord. What just happened? I lost my heart to pray for those things that you brought forth to me, and the reading's gone. All those things, everything sidetracked me, every single thought, every single thing stopped me all the way from the kitchen to my bedroom just to get in there and pray. And I mean, it just becomes a complete mess. And I, you know what? I have to stop and to say, Lord, forgive me for those things, but then what? I need to pray. I need to have this communion with you. I need to have this conversation. I need to get in this prayer, Lord, and I'm asking you right now to help me. Prayer, it is an important way that God has given us to communicate. We read his word, And his word is reading us. He is communicating to us through his Bible. And then he gives us the opportunity to talk to him. Wow, what a wonderful thing to be able to talk to God. Well, what a hard thing it is when you allow everything else to get in front. When you get in the way of your praying to God. Praying has become like church. It's become a secondary thing. It's not important to pray anymore. If we can spit a few words out here and there, or if we just might make a mention of somebody here or there because, you know, they asked you to pray for them. But to pray, to be able to get a hold of God and get God's ear and shake it up, and you and him have that communion one with another. It's just become a thing of the past because people have really believed. They've come to that point where they believe that God just isn't hearing their prayers, because when they're praying, they're looking for a feeling to come along with that prayer. God never asked you to pray and look for a feeling. He asked you to believe and to pray. The devil steals that from you when he puts those little thoughts in your head. What's the use of praying? God isn't answering anyway. My friends, let me just tell you this. God doesn't always answer prayers your way. He answers prayers his way. We're on his time. He's not on ours. But we have this thing in our head that God hasn't answered that prayer. How do you know he didn't answer it the way he wants it? You see, we look for one way. When we pray, we look for one way for God to answer those prayers, and that's our way. And that's not the only way. But the devil's got that cup in our head. Why pray? Why pray when he's not going to answer all the answers? Look for the answers in a different direction than what you think he's going to answer. You'll be surprised. You know, me and Andy, there was a song back in the days with Garth Brooks saying, I think that's, maybe, I don't know, maybe it was Garth Brooks, but thank God for unanswered prayers was the name of the song. But you know what? Thank God for some of those unanswered prayers. Thank God he didn't answer things the way me and Andy would have had them answered. Thank God that he didn't go out there and just bow to my beck and call that. You know, most
his pastor is a demon.
Mom, you know you're recording, right?
Victory in them any other way, but yet we think that we can just handle everything in the physical. When Jesus Christ was talking to the woman at the well, she instantly thought of a bucket to get water. Jesus was trying to deal with her on a spiritual level, and she's thinking on a physical level, and he had to bring her sin. You see, he had to bring her underneath the law, had to bring her sin to her, and once she understood her sin, then he could deal with her on a spiritual level. Then she understood the water that he was offering. My friends, there are things physically on this earth that we're going to face that can only be answered by prayer and fasting. It won't happen any other way. You see, that story comes from the disciples. Jesus Christ had given them power to go cast out devils and heal the sick and such. And there they are. They're out there doing it all day long. They're out there just doing that kind of stuff. And then one comes, bam, and stands there in front of them, and they can't cast out that devil. And it wrought confusion, and they're wondering, why couldn't we do that, Lord? He says, because you forgot about me. You didn't pray or fast. There's things in your life that's going to come up that you think that you can handle, but I'm telling you, you leave Jesus Christ out of it, and it's going to stay the same that it's always been. Just in case you didn't know, Jesus Christ needs to be involved in your salvation. I was doing a little research on the difference between examine and seek, and they are different words. There are many people who are seeking salvation, but they're not examining what it's going to take for them to get saved. They're not cross-examining yourself. You see, if a lawyer was to go out there and he wanted to present his case in front of the courts there, don't you think that he would have went through every single piece of evidence? He would have scrutinized every little bit of it. There would have been no room. He believes that when he steps in that courtroom, there is not one shadow of doubt that he's going to go in there and present. That's what examination is if you're a lost person in this room tonight. You continue to seek Jesus Christ for salvation, but you need to examine why those doubts are there, and you need to get to the bottom of it until there is no more doubt. But because people are stuck on seeking, they forget about the examination. They forget about the proving part. There's a proving part in this thing. And God's trying to prove the hearts, and he's trying to show that person. Not only are they trying to show what's in their heart, but he's trying to show why their heart does what they do. She's trying to expose it. But most people are caught just to seek. Go search that out. It's very short. There's not many. And I think you'll find some joy in the difference between the examining and the seeking. It's a good little study to do. It'll help give you an understanding of some things. Prayers. Albeit these things come out not by prayer or fasting. These are things in our life that we'll face, and not just on a physical level. Turn with me to real quick to Philippians chapter 4. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. And I was also doing a little study today on believe on and believe in Jesus. Believeth on and believeth in. Fascinating. It's just fascinating what that means. They are two different things. Believing on and believing in are two different things. And one is the works that Jesus Christ does, and one is the words that he speaks. Okay? You're going to believe on the works. You're going to believe on who he says he is, who God says he is, who that Old Testament prophecies and so on. You're going to believe him for that, but you're also going to believe in the things that he's done, the healings and so on and so forth. And it's a pretty fascinating little study. And if I take you about 20 minutes, just put in there, believeth on and believeth in. Very short study. But it opens your eyes to be able to see that there's aspects of Jesus Christ that people aren't believing on or believing in. Why can't I get saved? Because you don't have that. It's reality. Okay, God wants you to have that. Philippians chapter 4, and we're going to start in verse 6 here. It says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication. How many things did that say? In everything. There is nothing in your life that God does not want you to come to him and lay at his feet and pray to him with. There is nothing. Look, I'm married. But it doesn't mean that my wife knows all my prayers. I can go to God and say, listen, man, this is between me and you, Lord. This is something that I have that I need to get right. And I'm going to go pray this thing. It says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. You see that supplication? That's almost like a begging God. But look at the little end there. It says, with thanksgiving. Is there anybody in here who would deny that God has not answered a prayer in your life, at least one prayer in your life? There's your thanksgiving. There's your reason to be thankful. But I know he's done more than one prayer in each person's life in here. I know he's done multiple prayer, answered prayer for people who are in this room. So there's your, but let me ask you this, do you have an attitude of thanksgiving? Just because he hasn't answered your prayer, what you think for salvation, you don't think he's worthy to thank? Listen, that's just going to take away from your prayer. Oh God, I'm thanking you guys. Well, you haven't even got to the prayer yet. You ain't even thanking for nothing. We can't come to God with thanksgiving for what he's done, even as lost people or a saved person and going through hard times. If we can't be thankful in those things, why would God even hear our prayer, to listen to our prayer, and to answer our prayer our way? Look at it says, be careful for nothing. Let your request be made known unto God. And look what happens. What a wonderful thing when we do what God said. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your mind through Christ Jesus. If we do what? Come to him with prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. peace that passes all understanding. It's not humanly possible to have peace at that time, but you have it. Let me say this, my friends. Most of the world's not going to come out and say that they want that peace. But inside, they are longing for it. I remember as a lost person and watching Christians. And inside, I'd be screaming, John Mark, I wish I could have what they had. Screaming, but I never told anybody. I can't be looked at as a legalist. Christianity's a crutch. The people are just using it for a crutch. But boy, I like what they have. Finally, brethren, verse 8, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Look at it says, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do. What are people seeing in you? Okay. I understand we have multiple people here who are claiming that they're not saved. But you still come to church, you still pray, you still read your Bible, which means people are still watching you. What are they seeing in you? If they're not seeing some semblance of Jesus Christ in you, or some semblance of you seeking this thing, then what are they seeing? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Most people know these verses, but knowing verses and living them are totally two different things. Okay? You can know all the verses in the world, my friend, but if you can't live them, worthless. God didn't put those there for us to know them. Right? He put us there for us to live them. To put these things in our life. Why? Because in Romans 8:29, it says we're to be conformed into the image of His Son. How do we become conformed to the image of the Son? The King James Bible transforms us into His image. There's no other way. No other way for salvation. No other way for truth. No other way for Christian living but the King James Bible. Look at this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 14. It says, now we exhort you, brethren, more than that are unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded. Support the weak. Be patient towards all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. And look at, He's going to give us a formula on how to do those things. Well, isn't God good to give us a formula? Isn't He awesome to give us a way to be able to do those things? Look at the next verse says there. Rejoice evermore. You want to be able to do those things that He just listed in verse 14 and 15? One of the first things you have to do is rejoice evermore. What do you have to rejoice over tonight? What's in your life that you have that you can rejoice over, that you can be excited over, that God has given you? The very next verse says, pray without ceasing. Well, that's not a wonder that's in there, huh, John Mark? You see, God puts things in order on purpose. You come to Him with thanksgiving and supplication. Then He puts the prayer in. What are you rejoicing over? Pray without ceasing. You know what that means? Don't stop praying. Most people think prayer can only be done in a prayer closet. I pray more outside of my prayer closet, doing my daily duties or daily chores or whatever I do. I pray more then than I ever do in my prayer closet. There's days I don't seem like I ever stop praying. But you know what? That's what that means. Don't stop praying. Temptations come, Lord. Man, Lord, look at this temptation, man. This is coming at me hard. I don't know if I can stop myself right now. I don't know if I can control myself. Lord, I really need your help. Look, you're not going to help me, are you? Oh, He wants to help you if you believe it. Let's finish up here. In everything, give thanks. Why? Well, this is, not maybe. Does that say maybe in your Bible? Because if so, then I'll give you a King James Bible. What's it say? For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. My friends, wherever you're at in life right now, this is God's will for your life right now. cool, but God, for those who are saved, God is calling us and He's separating us and He's putting us out there. And He's got a life that He's given us and He's changing us and He's doing things in our lives. But then those of us who are not in this room, who are not saved, you're in His will. Why? Because you're seeking and get into the examining, get into the supplication, get into rejoicing. Go home and examine yourself. Well, I already know that I'm not in the faith. Then why are you not in the faith? Can you tell me why you're not in the faith? Have you examined yourself and cross-examined yourself and proved yourself of why you are not? You should have a clear answer on why you are not. And then you know what? God has an answer for why you can be. How about that? It's good. He doesn't want to string you along, my friend. Look at quench not the spirit, despise not the prophesying, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good, abstain from all appearance, the very appearance. You're going to see, sister, that there's things in your life that God has allowed. He's going to put a stop sign to stuff in your life He's no longer going to allow. It may be okay with you, it may have been okay with God in the past, but He is not okay with it anymore. And a person is going to walk up to you and go, man, you're a Christian, you're doing that? Be done with it. Get rid of it immediately. Get rid of it immediately. Because it's an appearance of evil to somebody, and it's a stumbling block to that person. Okay? That's just what God does. He doesn't say you to leave you the same person, John Mark. Living the same way, doing the same thing, thinking the same way, having the same desire. He changes all that. That's what all this is all about. Quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast and that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And look what happens when we do those things. And the very God of peace sanctify you all. And pray, and I pray, God, for your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. God says, look, I want you to not do these things. Here's the formula on how not to do those things. And then if you do those things the way I say, here's what you'll get out of it. There's a perfect order in this book that I hold in my hand. God did not mistakenly put anything in this book that's here. The order that you read things is an order specifically that the Holy Ghost of God put down in that order. He didn't ask us, Sam, to pick and choose what we think what order they should be in. That's not what He done. He put it there. He says, now do it. One of them is praying. One of us is praying and not letting the devil and yourself and the world take that from you. And I got one more, James chapter 5, and I'm going to close with this. James chapter 5. Look what it says here in James chapter 5. And then we'll end up closing out with this, these few verses. James chapter 5, start with verse 13. James chapter 5, verse 13, some of my favorite verses. Is there any among you afflicted? We know people are afflicted. Okay, let them pray. Is any married? Let them sing songs. You know, Jesus Christ said this. He says that He didn't only come to fulfill the laws and the prophets, but also the songs. I just seen that for the first time. I've been reading the Bible for about 13 years. And for the first time, I've just seen where Jesus Christ mentioned not only is He fulfilling the laws and the prophets, but He's also fulfilling the songs. And I just thought that was kind of cool. That kind of reminds me of that. Sing songs. Pray. Sing songs to yourself. Is there any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let him pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another. Pray for one another, that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Okay? Prayer. It's an important thing throughout your whole Bible, whether you're in Old Testament or New Testament. God wants us to pray. That communication is open. Okay? Get in your Bible and read. Let God talk to you, then go back. And I learned this from pastors, praying those things back that we learn. Okay? What a wonderful thing to do. And I'm new to it. I just started praying back some things that I learned from God. I've never done it. But you know, I said, you know what? I'm in the pits. I'm in a spiritual battle right now. So well, let's do something, man. And God said, start playing that stuff that you know back to me. Start playing it back to me. And so I have been. And you know what? What a wonderful thing to start playing God's word back to him. Hold that Bible up. Hold it up to him. And tell him, God, this is your word. These are your promises. You tell me to do these things. Lord, with all my heart, I want to be obedient. I want to do these things to the best of my ability. But I need your help in these things. Do we believe that? It's one thing to know this. It's a whole different ballgame to believe these things and know, okay?